We can move the agenda now to the WBAI focus station. We have scheduled Robert Scott Adams, the interim general manager, program director Bernard White, our new general manager at WBAI, Anthony Riddle, and left off of the agenda through some oversight, LSB chair Roger Kilgore will also give a brief presentation. Who would like to go first?
Let me introduce people.
Oh, great. Very good, Dan.
Can you get a microphone?
Thanks, Ross.
Okay. Whoops.
All righty. Your bag is sitting on top of it.
Okay, good morning, everyone. And this is a part of the meeting that I've really been looking forward to because it will hopefully set a new pattern for our meetings where instead of having brief reports that are rushed without real time for conversation, we will select a station at each meeting and have an in-depth presentation, report, conversation with the board. It may not be the most optimistic introduction to talk about the audit findings, but I guess that's part of resolving issues at WBAI. Anyway, we have a couple of people who will speak to you today. The first will be Robert Scott Adams, who is finishing his tenure as interim general manager at WBAI. And I personally want to thank Robert not only for his work over the past period of time, but also his graciousness and staying on to assist with the transition so that we don't miss a beat at WBAI. So, thank you, Robert. But also, I have just great pleasure in introducing our new general manager at WBAI, Anthony Tony Riddle, who is here this morning and who will be assuming his duties over the next couple of weeks, transitioning into this new position. We're really very, very happy to have Anthony with us. He has a great history in media, in civil rights advocacy, in building organizations, and we're very confident that he's going to provide long-term leadership to the station and make WBAI, again, a crown jewel of the Pacifica Network. I also want to thank you. So we'll hear from Robert, then we'll hear from Anthony. We're still expecting Bernard White, who perhaps is just delayed a little bit on the train or something, who said he would be here. So I also, before we go on, I really want to thank the search committee and the local station board at WBAI, John Riley, the chair of the search committee. I know just spent a tremendous amount of time in the search process. Really did a great job of attracting a large pool of qualified applicants, cut that pool down twice, and finally presented to me three, frankly, very good qualified choices for the position. It made it a tough choice, but in many ways an easy choice because among the three very qualified finalists, Anthony Riddle really stood out. So, and there was tremendous agreement consensus within the search committee and then on my part in making the final decision. So I want to thank, again, WBAI and the search committee in particular. And here's Robert. And Robert, you can sit down if you like or stand.
Morning, folks.
Good morning.
Excuse me. Let's see. This is going to be sort of brief. I'm basically open for more questions than anything else. We're going to talk basically about just finances, personnel, and management. Some of you might recall my first report at the PNB was one of optimism, passion, and determination. While some of that has diminished in some small degree or another, I still feel with proper management and, more importantly, cooperation from local and national boards, WBI can begin to thrive. The station's in the middle of the radio dial in the number one media market in the United States, and it should be able to survive on its own, but for some reason it doesn't. The main reason WBII can't, some of the reasons BII can't and won't survive are the outside factions are allowed to constantly divert the attention of our paid staff and unpaid staff away from their day-to-day activities by keeping up, what my grandmother used to say, keeping up a lot of mess. For example, last week our program director, Bernard White, was ill, missed a few days. In an effort to make sure that things ran smoothly in his absence, I simply issued a memo confirming what the staff already knew. We divided the duties among staff and issued a directive to carry on. To my chagrin, I received a memo from the staff explaining that while this was business as usual, we had been hit with some emails from one or two of some outside factions that there was going to be another coup at the radio station. The directors should be allowed to run the station in and apart from the public, from the program director if he's not around. But as a result, the staff was so upset they didn't want to accept the responsibility because if there were a coup, they'd be linked. They thought they'd be linked to it, in addition to the fact that we were in the stages of planning a February fund drive. And they were also concerned that if things didn't go well in terms of raising money, they didn't want to be blamed for its failure. We recently received a premium, a trash can, a George Bush trash can. It's called White Trash. And while everybody laughs at it now, I actually had some staff come to me, and they were concerned about us advertising this because our program director has been hit with so many accusations and allegations about what he does and his intent running the station. Somebody actually suggested that we not offer it as a premium because they would blame Bernard White for coming up with the idea of calling it white trash. And it had nothing to do with that at all. It's someone just simply offered us this, and we wanted to use it. Our paid staff has to learn how to communicate with each other and put aside personal difficulties. This is the biggest thing. Without going into gory details, there are too many occasions where one staff member actually holds a grudge and gets another one for something that happened in some cases years ago. Either one or both of the people have failed to let whatever it is go for the good of the station. And as a result, these individuals refuse to work or even worse yet, communicate with each other, despite having meetings, one-on-one lunches, dinners with a lot of these folks. What we still have is paid and unpaid staff refusing to speak and work, refusing to speak to each other and working with each other. They come to me to ask me, can you speak to the program director about this? Can you tell the premiums director about this? Can you tell the public affairs director about this, rather than going and speaking to them themselves? And when I get in these staff meetings and say, listen, you guys, it's not going to work if you don't have to live with each other, but you have to just speak to each other. You have to communicate. How are you going to get the job done if you can't even talk to each other? Doesn't make any difference. I mean, you don't have how much time is consumed with having to be the middle person in all this. I could refuse to do it, but then what happens? I can write them up, I can try to get them fired, but in the meantime, I'd have to find somebody to take their place. It would be easier if everybody at the radio station could just learn to cooperate, to communicate. Salary cutbacks, denying staff raises. My staff is not going to work less because they've been denied money or they're not going to get the raises that they've been entitled to with their after contracts. They always focus on the task at hand and they work hard. One of the other biggest problems we have is advanced planning, promotion, and marketing. There are 4 fundraisers a year. While we always say how we need to have more time to plan ahead prior to the fund drives, it's always, I repeat, always a last-minute chaotic affair. I take the blame for this. Even though we've had meetings, deadlines, these drives seem to actually catch folks off guard. And they act as if they didn't know that these fund drives were going to happen 4 times a year. We now have a new premium director. She's extremely organized, focused, and a very hard worker. But she sees, as the last premiums director saw, that this job is much too difficult for just one person to perform. We have volunteers, but we need volunteers who, but according to her, for example, we need volunteers who can perform specific tasks as needed. For the most part, we don't attract or recruit them on a regular basis. how the new GM will manage this problem of making sure the premium director will be allowed to solicit, select, and negotiate for top-notch premiums so this constant last-minute premium scramble doesn't happen. Luckily, the national office has helped us to set up to get most of the premiums sent out by a fulfillment house. We have taken inventory of our premiums. We have put all the premiums in one office. We have changed the lock on that door, and only the premiums director has access to that office. This should sort of take the cuffs off the department, allowing it to flow a little bit more smoothly. But even with that decision, the amount of negative mail added to the negative sentiments about this new system that we tried to enact actually threatened to derail the process before we even had a chance to make it work. It's my recommendation that some serious steps be taken to reorganize the radio station. Organize it from the bottom up. But that's going to have to be something that the new general manager is going to have to deal with. We need to provide adequate support for our staff. As it comes to finances, the first 3 months find us in a negative cash flow. However, we did have two days of Martin Luther King fundraising on the 14th and 24th. We grossed $68,000. Our winter drive will be February 4th through the 29th, and at this point, we do have plans in place. They've had regular meetings. Things seem to be more organized than they have previously, and so hopefully they'll be able to meet their goals. BIA still has to be able to develop training, staff development. Programming has to be able to evaluate shows and be allowed to create new programs without having a lot of opposition to it. I mean, the program director and the staff, public affairs director and the arts director and the news director, they're at the station every day. They're at the station all the time. They know the direction that the station should take, but they should be allowed to create programming that will take the station in that direction. That's basically about it. I have some other stuff I could say, but I'll take questions at this point. I'd rather take questions.
Okay, George.
Jack?
Yes?
Maybe it would be a good idea to get the presentations out.
Maybe that is a good idea. Is that okay with everyone? All right. I guess we'll go on to...
Oh, and I didn't know that I knew Anthony, Tony Riddle and I actually are old friends from Atlanta, but we've both gotten a little older. We gained a few pounds. And when he looked at me, he said, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" I said, "Yeah, you know me from somewhere." This is a good guy, folks. He's a much better guy than I am. He's going to do well. Come on.
It does say that there are a few of us who are constantly involved in the struggle in one form or another, and that we may all take different directions and cross different paths with each other at different points in our lives. But it is good to see that this is true, and I'm sure this is true amongst all of you as well. You know that there are ways that you're connected. That happened before this, and that you'll stay connected after serving Pacifica. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be a part of what you do, and I want to assure you that that I'm going to approach it with the proper level of respect for the importance of what Pacifica and WBAI mean within the community. As I mentioned to the search committee, I don't think that I've ever understood how important this organization is to the life of this country and particularly to the life of people who are struggling to make a change. I never understood it better than I have in the past 5 or 6 years. And I just want to say, you know, in case, you know, because I know listening to the report, listening to the radio, and talking to people, you know, it's not an easy struggle, that there's a lot of issues and personalities to wrestle with. And you may not hear it very often when you're getting the bad emails from somebody or whatever, the critical emails. But the things that Pacifica does, the place that you play in the community, is really greatly appreciated by a lot of people that you may never ever hear from, and that you should always keep that in mind. And approaching WBAI, you know, I can be long-winded, but I won't yet because I don't know you well enough. But in approaching WBAI, I just want to say that I know that there's a way that we can all make this work. I know that there's a way to not all be the same, but to be able to have people respect each other to the degree that things can function the way that they ought to. Some of those have to do with what the auditor is talking about, and even in a larger sense, just to be able to regularize relationships and expectations in a way that people can judge whether things are going the way that they're supposed to or not, so that they can then be left to fight about the stuff that they really differ on instead of the other things. I have a great deal of sympathy for Robert because I come from another aspect of the same community, and many of us get carried out on our shields. That's just, you know, that's just the way that it happens sometimes. But then, you know, looking at things in retrospect, a lot of times you can still look back at the time that you spent doing these things and realize that it was time well spent and that it was worthwhile. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to be in more of a listening mode here because I just need to know more of what's going on, and I hope all of you will help me get through that.
Okay. Roger.
Okay.